KNOM Update News. I'm Lorelei Kinnean, and it's 9:02. Several Alaskans were near the finish line of the Boston Marathon when two bombs exploded in the crowded finish area yesterday. No Alaskans are known to be among the three people who were killed and the more than 100 others who were injured. 41 Alaskans were registered to run the race yesterday. Many had family members there to cheer them on. Anchorage resident Heather Afton finished the race about 15 minutes before the bombs exploded. She was just a few blocks away when she heard the two explosions. Afton says it was a dream of hers to qualify for the Boston Marathon, which only allows runners with fast marathon times to enter. She says for 15 minutes after she finished, she felt elation. But everything changed the instant the first bomb went off.
My trip down those 26 miles was just one long party, and so many people put everything they had into it today, and it just is so heartbreaking, and I guess because of that I'm just feeling anger and rage at the whole thing that was tainted.
Anchorage resident Hetty Aishai didn't run the race herself, but she was waiting with a friend for her husband at the family meeting area when the explosions happened.
And I kind of looked at my friend Jonathan, and he looked at me, and I looked up at the sky, and he's like, I hope that was thunder. And we looked at each other, and we knew it wasn't. And then we heard another one, and he said, I don't think that's thunder, Hetty. So we heard it. Yeah, it was very, very loud, and you could feel it. I feel it on the ground.
It took Aishide about 10 minutes to reunite with her husband, Ted, who lives in Wisconsin. He was looking toward the finish line when the explosions happened, and he saw smoke. It was his second Boston Marathon, and he says it's a wonderful event.
Thousands and thousands of Bostonians come out to watch it, and you have runners from all around the world here. So I'm sad for the marathon because, you know, this was a 117th running. And it puts a damper on really a wonderful tradition.
Aishide says his thoughts are with the victims. He says despite the horror of yesterday's marathon, he would run the race again. The body of a 9-year-old boy has been recovered from a crevasse in an Alaska glacier. Alaska State Trooper spokesperson Megan Peters says the body of Sean Brown of Fairbanks was recovered at 12:40 in the morning Monday. The boy was on a snow machine outing Saturday with his father and others in the Hoodoo Mountains. His father told troopers Sean drove around a small mound and did not reappear. Officials say the boy fell an estimated 200 feet into the crevasse through a moulon, a hole formed when water on the glacier surface erodes ice below. Climbers who descended into the hole say they found Sean's body buried in 6 to 8 feet underneath, in 6 to 8 feet of snow underneath his snow machine. The Hoodoo Mountains are south of Delta Junction off the Richardson Highway. Unalakleet residents still do not have drinkable water coming out of their taps, but do indeed have the $25 million water and sewer infrastructure still in place thanks to community effort. Since March 18th, people throughout the town at the heart of the Norton Sound have come together to prevent a system-wide shutdown. Currently, water from what's called the slough is being pumped into homes so people can wash dishes and clothes and use their toilets and simply keep the system moving. However, that water is not treated and often smells of salt water when a high tide pushes through. Drinkable water is either melted from river ice or gathered from homes outfitted with a well. Crews are currently searching for a break in the nearly 35-year-old PVC transmission line. Some water is flowing, but not enough to supply residents with potable water. City Manager Scott Dickens explains that the amount of water flowing into the tank is the issue.
Our flow is only 30 gallons a minute, while we're pumping about 70 to 75 gallons a minute, so we're losing about 40 gallons a minute in the line.
Currently, the water level in the holding tank is at 12 feet, or 500,000 gallons, not enough to comfortably supply residents with treated water. So, the city is simply pumping as much water as possible into the tank while looking for the break in the line.
Basically, we're just trying to find that leak. We're, you know, trying to buy as much time as we can with while we look for the leak.
The transmission line from Powers Creek, the creek that supplies water to the community, is 3 miles long. Dickens says crews have inspected half of the line and continue to move toward town to find the leak. Roughly 20 different locations were dug up to check the flow rate with a flow meter. So far, the crew continues to head toward town and toward the cement tarmac at the airport to find the leak.
We're hoping it's not under the tarmac, but experience we've kind of run into down at the end of the runway is that 120 feet was basically shattered, and you know, it's, you know, from the compacting of the ground and stuff when they had the runway project here a couple years ago.
Gus Johnson, Unalakleet's Public Works Director, has been on the job 12 to 14 hours a day since the water crisis first began nearly 1 month ago. Dickens says he and the community could not be happier with the work Johnson has done.
Considering it's been, you know, near zero to 5-10 below, you know, winds blowing, it's been tough. I mean, it's not an easy job.
Dickens says they're working to find and repair the leak before the ice at the slough goes out, because the system bringing water to homes had to be installed directly on the ice. He hopes to get treated water to Unalakleet residents sometime this week. The PVC transmission line was installed nearly 35 years ago. A new transmission line was the number one priority for the city of Unalakleet this past year. So far, $4.5 million has been secured for the project. The city needs another $11 million to begin construction on a new line. Jeff Erickson, a member on the Unalakleet City Council, says if the community did not come together to provide water from the slough, the entire system would have needed a rebuild, a more than two-year, more than $25 million project. A former legislator and political activist is pushing for a referendum on the oil tax overhaul that just passed the Alaska legislature. Ray Metcalf hopes to submit an application to the Division of Elections in the next few days. If the application were certified, the referendum committee would have 90 days from adjournment to gather the necessary signatures. The odds are long. Just three referendums have been successfully proposed and appeared on the ballot in Alaska. Two of those did pass. Metcalf says there's more than a little outrage over the legislature passing Senate Bill 21. The bill would cut taxes for oil companies with the expectation it will lead to more production. Critics say it's too big a gamble with no guarantee of what Alaska will get in return. And a look at the price of gold in New York today, up $36 to $1,389.60. An ounce of silver's up $1.06 to $23.85. Alaska Airlines Flight 151 landed in Nome ahead of schedule at 8:49 this morning and is expected to depart to Anchorage on time at 9:42. Unofficially, 0 degrees at the KNOM studios, 10 minutes after 9 o'clock.